This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org.
2 is the loneliest number.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. If XM and Sirius stay separate companies, they argue they'll have a tough time competing in the radio world. But if they merge into one company, they can cut costs and offer more programming choices to people. That's been their argument for 16 months now. As of this morning, the head of the Federal Communications Commission finally agrees. More now from Ashley Milne-Tite.
The Department of Justice approved the XM-Sirius deal in March. Now the FCC chairman says he's in favor of a merger. Kevin Martin says XM and Sirius have made voluntary commitments that make the deal in the public interest. Among those commitments are giving over 24 channels to non-commercial and minority programming and freezing prices for 3 years. The companies will also offer a so-called a la carte pricing option that will let subscribers choose pricing plans ranging from $6.99 to $16.99 a month. Now, Martin has put his seal of approval on the deal. It's up to the four other FCC commissioners to weigh in, and they could vote as early as this week. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Wall Street had a pretty good day on Friday, but that might be a blip in a recent downward trend. In early trading this morning, the Dow is down 87 points, more than 0.5%, to 12,219. The NASDAQ has dropped 10. The S&P 500 also down 0.5% at 7 points. In Asia today, the stock markets finished 2 to 3% higher, but European shares are down about 0.5% so far. Hybrid cars are selling so well, Toyota can't keep up with the demand. Nice problem to have. But Toyota said today it needs to make more hybrid batteries. It just doesn't have the production space to do it and won't until next year. So I wouldn't expect the Prius to drop in price anytime soon. U.S. car makers have the opposite problem. They're closing assembly lines and shutting down plants. But Chrysler has an idea. It plans to lease some of its space to a Canadian company. Amy Scott explains.
If the deal goes through, Chrysler says it will lease part of its Kokomo, Indiana transmission plant to Canadian parts maker Linamar. Chrysler workers will provide the labor. They'll start out making parts for Chrysler's new fuel-efficient engines and transmissions, but they could also do work for other Linamar customers. John Cassessa runs a firm that advises and invests in the auto industry. As U.S. truck sales continue to slide, he expects to see more creative strategies like this one. He says you might even see GM and Ford get together to share plants.
These individual companies don't have enough volume in their plants to support those facilities and those jobs anymore. So it makes more sense to work together rather than have two separate plants running at low capacity.
The Chrysler-Linamar deal is expected to close sometime this summer. A Chrysler spokeswoman says the company is exploring a similar partnership at one of its Canadian plants. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Today, the Senate may vote on the year's biggest tax bill. It would fix the alternative minimum tax and extend tax breaks to companies. But the House is threatening to kill it if those breaks aren't paid for with tax cuts or increases somewhere else. Steve Henn reports from Washington.
Congress is stuck in a fierce fight over how to pay for tax extensions. Many American businesses are caught in the middle. Greg Whetstone at the American Wind Energy Association says his industry could lose a $300 million annual tax credit at the end of the year. That's already taking a toll.
It's much harder right now to get financing for 2009 projects. We've reached the point of the year now where investors are making decisions.
The Energy Department estimates wind could generate 20% of America's electricity by 2030. But
if we're going to achieve that, we've got to continue to grow at the rate we've been growing. This kind of a setback is going to make it much harder.
Other industries are affected, too. The country's research and development credit expired last year. The information technology industry estimates that's already cost the economy $8.4 billion in lost growth. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Anheuser-Busch isn't exactly going along with this bid from the Belgian company InBev. Instead, the king of beers has been talking to the Mexican company that makes Corona. InBev found out about this, and they're really upset. Stephen Beard has more from London.
In the letter, InBev tells Anheuser-Busch not to thwart the InBev bid by swallowing a poison pill. The American company's reportedly been talking about a full merger with its Mexican joint venture partner. InBev's letter says that Anheuser-Busch shareholders would be much better off with the InBev bid. It reminds the Busch board of its duty to its own shareholders and talks of adverse consequences. Roger Protz is editor of the Good Beer Guide.
I find the InBev letter to Anheuser-Busch so threatening and bullying, it's frightening. Is this the world of modern business? I mean, really quite disturbing the way in which they're going about this.
If Anheuser-Busch did buy out its Mexican partner, it could become too expensive for InBev to buy. The Belgian-Brazilian company is already borrowing $40 billion to launch the largest cash takeover bid on record. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Saudi Arabia is getting no respect. Over the weekend, the Saudis said they'll start churning out more oil. By next month, they'll be pumping at their fastest rate since 1981. Saudi Arabia says the price of oil is unjustified. But this morning, it shot up again to almost $140 a barrel.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. I'd love to hear your take on the price of oil, or at least Wall Street's take on it.
The people I respect on Wall Street, whom I've dealt a long time, their sort of universal opinion is that the price of oil is now sort of in bubble territory caused by a variety of things. And the way people like that, and to some extent people like me, think is about the time you start reading everywhere, oil is going to 200, plan for this, this is permanent, that's the time it's about to end and change. And I think that's what's going to happen. I just don't know when it's going to happen.
And that's just kind of a bubble theory?
Yeah. There's always a rationale for what's happening. At the height of the real estate bubble, it was baby boomers are all retiring, everyone's going to have a million houses. And now, at what may be the height of the oil bubble, it's China, it's India, not enough refineries. There are all of these explanations for why oil really should be $140 or $150 or $170 a barrel, and they're all after the fact.
Well, if this is actually a bubble, are we assuming then that the supply-demand aspect of this isn't as strong as some people are making it out to be?
Right. I think a lot of what's going on here is financial speculation. People have made a lot of money betting on oil, and I think that's happening with a lot of the commodities, and you can make a supply and demand case, but I don't believe it. And I can't tell you why I don't believe it, and I can't demonstrate logically that it's wrong, but I don't believe it.
How much of this do you think is being driven by fear?
The stock market is more fearful now than usual. I would say a lot of it. I just don't think that what's going on in many cases is rational. And if it's not rational, it's going to come to an end, because it always does.
So you're kind of going with a gut feeling here, Alan?
Yeah. And if you saw me, you'd know my gut is ample.
All right. Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. Thanks.
My pleasure, Scott.
New motto for the post office. Neither rain nor sleet nor gas prices. Every time gas goes up one penny, it costs the Postal Service $8 million. It has more than 200,000 vehicles to fill up. But unlike, say, the airlines, the Postal Service can't raise fees arbitrarily. It's only allowed to bump up stamps and other prices at the rate of inflation. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.